For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think it's fair of me to say that every one of us here today has much in their life to be thankful for. That there is much that we are grateful for, that we would want to express gratitude for. The biggest thing we're celebrating today and giving thanks for is for the life of Emma and all that she brings to her family and to the wider community that she's part of. But we all come with different things that we might, in our hearts and in our minds, want to give thanks for. And of course, when we give thanks, it implies that there is someone to whom we want to give thanks. It implies that something has been given, that there is a gift, which implies that there is a giver. We might want to give thanks for the beauty of creation. We might want to give thanks for any number of life's other gifts, for the rich tapestry of life which each of us have experienced, for our homes, our clothes and food, for those things which inspire and challenge us, for great music and poetry and art, for great food and drink, and the company of others. We might wish this morning to give thanks for any or all of those things. And if we see creation, all of those, the many things that we want to give thanks for, as part of God's gift, as part of God's grace, then we are opened up to the possibility that there could be a giver, that there could be a God of goodness and grace, that it could be a God who we see revealed in the world around us, that we see revealed in our friends, that we see revealed in each of us. For me, I know I often, when spending time with tiny little ones, like four-week-old Franklin at the back there, or Emma, who's just over a year old, there's something magical, something almost divine about time with those little ones that perhaps reveals something of God's grace and God's goodness. There's some pretty rough stuff about children as well, which we won't get to, which can be tough as well. But there's something revealed about God's goodness. And if we open ourselves up to the possibility that there is a giver and that there is goodness and that there are gifts and there is grace in the world, then it challenges us in turn to be giving, generous, gracious, grace-filled people ourselves. When we give thanks for an individual life like Emma's, then it gives us perhaps pause for thought to look wider and to see where God might be revealing God's self in the wider world. We reflected on this actually again during our good friend Bruce's funeral service this week, the idea of God being revealed in creation and the world. Psalm 19 says this: "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." There's the idea that by looking at all that is in creation, something is revealed about God. St. Paul, in another section of the letter to the Romans, which Vera read to us earlier, says, "Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." Again, there's the idea that in the created world, in the beauty of the world that we live in, something of God is revealed. St. Bonaventure calls creation God's fingerprint. And I think there's something in that, and there's something that we might gain through studying that fingerprint, through studying the world, through reflecting on the world, that gives us a glimpse of God's goodness and God's handiwork and God's grace. And again, as we reflect on the world and the created state of things, we might get a sense of the Creator. We might get a sense of what is going on, and what that grace, what that gift might mean to each of us. Now, of course, it doesn't stop there in the Christian faith. We've heard this morning in the baptism service that at the centre of the Christian faith isn't just the created world and the beauty of it, but that there's a belief in the ultimate revelation of God in and through Jesus Christ. That in Jesus' life, in Jesus' teachings, in his healings, in his friendships, in his actions and in his thoughts, right up to his crucifixion and then his resurrection, God has somehow revealed the completeness of who God is. Jesus is the ultimate gift, the ultimate act of grace. And again, we see that God is a God of good gifts, of grace, that God is a God who wishes to be known to us, who wishes to give good things to us. Which for me, again, brings us back round to the gratitude for the things in our own lives, for the gratitude for our place in the world, for Emma, for the many other good things in our life. And it's why we celebrate Emma's life by dedicating her to God, by entrusting her to God's care, as well as to the care of her godparents and to her parents and to the church community here at Histon Methodist. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That gift, that offer, that grace of God is open to all, whether we are part of a church community or not. But baptism also offers and gives us the opportunity to be part of a community of faith with other people. There's been a phrase that's been going around in my head for the last couple of weeks when I've been preparing for this service today. And it's not just because I've been listening to Stormzy, but it's that the church being a place of space for grace. The church as a place of space for grace. And I think that's a lovely idea, even if it's a bad rap. We're here for Rachel and for Darren and for Emma. Whenever, and we were talking about this the other day, whenever it's needed, whenever you need prayer or support or community, this here, Histon Methodist, is a place of space for grace for you. We are here if you need us. That's not supposed to be a pressure or a hard sell, but it's part of our promises to you today. It's part of the baptism service. It's not just for Emma. It's part something that we all involve ourselves in. And of course, that's true for any of us that are here week in, week out, or once a month, or once a year, whether we've never been to church, or whether we never want to come again. This here, and of course other churches like it, are places of space for grace. They're places where we hope that something of God's goodness and something of God's gifts to us all might be revealed. And it's at the core of why, for those of us that have been here for years, and I've only been here a couple of years, it's why we've been investing in the building, why we've been making this a more usable space, a more beautiful space, why we're still going with the rooms out the back to make them more usable and more open to the community, is because we want for ourselves and for others to experience something of God's grace. And we come in the church calendar towards Lent and leading up the long period of fasting and prayer, which leads up to Holy Week, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. That begins this Wednesday with an ashing service here at 11 o'clock in the morning. And for those of us that are pondering what this grace might look like for us, Lent is an amazing opportunity to once again make space in our lives, in our days, in our nights, to make a place of space for grace in there. The offer from God of his love and his grace is always there, is always open, and is always willing to be at work in our lives.